Would you pray with me? Lord, I want to thank you for the opportunity to allow us to be here. I pray that you would help each of us to continue to reap the reward of the investment that we are making in delving into your word and finding out what it is to be parents who are intentional. Parents who say yes to the hard work, and parents who have an expectation of children who will come to know Jesus Christ as their Savior, and that they would live life to the full in a way that honors you, that they would embrace what they have found, that we have found, and that our God would one day become their God, who they follow because they want to. We leave ourselves in your hands. Amen. As we continue our study titled Intentional Parenting, I must say we've learned a great deal. And my prayer is that what God is revealing to us through his word has inspired and challenged you to make some changes in your beliefs and especially in your actions. It has become incredibly obvious through this study that turning out healthy, living life to the full kids has little to do with the child himself. Instead, it has everything to do with the parenting that is put into them. I encourage you to go back to our website where you can study all of the previous messages and go over them and pick up all of the information that we have been gleaning over the past 2 months or so. Tonight, we're going to look at two verses, two commands on parenting that God gives us. These two verses are going to give us three foundational pillars, three legs for parenting. And we will look at these pillars. And I also want to point out just a couple other observations in these commands to bring out all of what God has to say for us tonight in these. So here we go with our first verse, Ephesians chapter 6, verse 4. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger by the way you treat them. Rather, bring them up with the discipline and instruction that comes from the Lord. And the second verse is Colossians 3:21. Fathers, do not aggravate your children, or they will become discouraged. Okay, before we look at the actual three pillars of parenting, please notice that both of these verses start with what word? Fathers. Now, doing the exegesis on this passage and studying what the Greek words are, we find that the word father in both verses is the Greek word patear, patear. Now, patear can be translated as father. It can also and equally be translated as parent. And several Bible translations do just that. They use the word parents. Now, I like that choice. I think it works well due to the fact that either parent, mother or father, is capable of provoking a child to anger. And also, both parents are given the same opportunity to instruct their child. So these principles would certainly apply to both parents. Even though you read fathers, mothers, you're not off the hook. And guys, I would say let's pay a little extra special attention just because it says our word there. Now the second observation is that when we identify our three parenting pillars in these verses tonight, know that this is not intended to be informational. This is not just supposed to be good information, which you will find it to be, but it's not supposed to be good information. It is supposed to be actional. It is supposed to be what you are going to do and should be doing. These verses command parents to be proactive in doing and undertaking these actions. God is calling us as parents to step up, step in, and to get about the doing of parenting. Now, let me give you something to hang your hat on this just before we head in. And it's on your outlines, and here it is. You can hang your hat on this. Autopilot is actually a camouflaged self-destruct button. You get it, huh, Caleb? You get that?
Oh, yeah.
Autopilot is actually a camouflaged self-destruct button. What in the world do you mean by that, Pastor Drew? Well, it's a very common mistake for us parents to ignore, or for us to dismiss, or to overlook, or to let pass moments and even issues that should be dealt with. It's in those moments of ignoring, in those moments of dismissing, in those moments of overlooking or letting pass, that parents are putting their responsibility to parent on autopilot. Just let it be. Or, well, I'll just hope it gets better. Or, I don't want to deal with this course correction. That, gang, is putting your parenting on autopilot. And there is a giant problem with this practice, and the problem is autopilot is actually a camouflaged self-destruct button. Gang, there is no autopilot available to us as parent in parenting, and if you are using an autopilot button, what you are really doing is hitting a self-destruct button on your child, and as soon as you hit it, the timer starts ticking down. And Jack Bauer ain't going to stop this one. We're going to talk more about this as we look at what God is showing us in these verses. Here we go. First up, the first pillar is encouragement. The pillar or the leg of encouragement. Let me put this leg right into our nice 13-year-old table that we bought when we started the church. Before there ever was a Westbridge, that table came to be known as Westbridge. Parents, do not aggravate your children or they will become discouraged. I find it interesting that God put in his word, God made sure this was included in his Bible to us, that he wants our children to be encouraged. So much so that he gives us this verse instructing us not to discourage our children. Gang, proper encouragement is like refreshing water, and we need it often. Encouraged people live with an attitude of hope, and they live with an attitude of positivity. Encouraged people believe that they can more than they believe that they can't. They are happier, and they in turn are more productive. As parents, we are to be very, very alert not to pour negative, hopeless, disheartening, and aggravating vibes and ambiances into our children. Now, I'm going to be very honest with you here. I'm a parent too, and I've been fighting this one for a while. This is one I've been trying to do well with. I mean, part of me at times becomes, let's just say I want to shout out. I want to shout out against the lack of smartness. I will say that. What I have written here, I refuse to say. I want to shout out against the lack of smartness. Right, Mr. Robert? Me and my buddy Mr. Robert, we talk, right? I want to shout out against it when I see it embraced and lived out. Anyone, too. It could be anyone that gets to me. From the person standing behind me at Walmart all the way to the highest levels of government. I would have no trouble at all pouring depressing, aggravating, disheartening feelings into my children. And believe me, I'm persuasive. They would get plenty discouraged with their hope for the future when I got done. Now, like I said, I've been fighting it, and I'm winning. I'm winning the fight over discouragement, and I found a tool that helped me immensely. A tool is this. I want to share it with you tonight. There is a difference between praising someone and encouraging someone. Let me show you. Praising someone focuses on what the person has done. Okay, that's on your outline. Praising someone focuses on what the person has done. Hey, you did a great job cutting that grass. Hey, you really know how to dress and pick an awesome outfit. I have a daughter, can you tell? You are doing a terrific job of raising your child. You see, praise focuses on what the person has done. Praise is good. That's a good thing. But encouragement is better. Encouragement is what we're called to here. Encouragement focuses on who a person is. It focuses on their position in Christ. And it hopes in the provision that God himself promises to his child. Focusing on who a person is in Christ aims a person at hoping in God and not in themselves or anyone else. I was talking to a friend once, and they were down. They were really down because they had not received a job that they wanted to get. They couldn't understand why God had not given them this job. They thought maybe that they hadn't prepared properly. Or maybe they had gotten off God's path, they figured. Well, I told my friend, I says, I don't know. I don't know all the reasons. I don't know. But I do know this, and I'll tell you what I know. The first thing I know is you, my friend, are royalty. You are God's prince. You, let's take Prince of Peace, Jesus, you're a prince too. Romans 8:17 says this. Now, if we are children, then we are heirs. Heirs of God and co-heirs with Jesus Christ. You, my friend, are royalty, and that you can bank on. Second thing I know, friend, is I know that you are not off track. You are being steered instead by the Father. He tells us that in Jeremiah 29:11. He says, "For I know the plans that I have for you," says the Lord. They're plans for good. They're plans not for disaster, but to give you a future and a hope. Now you'll notice, my friend, it didn't say to give you a good day today. It's for a future and a hope. God thinks long term, and we need to think long term. The third thing I know, my friend, to encourage you is this. Deuteronomy 31:6 tells us, "Be strong and courageous. Do not be afraid or terrified because of them. For the Lord your God goes with you." And here it is. "He will never leave you nor forsake you." You see, these are encouragements based on who my friend is as a Christ follower, not what he's done. Gang, we should certainly praise our children for what they do. But when it comes to giving them encouragement, encourage them with who they are in Jesus Christ. We'll make that our first takeaway tonight. Encourage your children with who they are in Jesus Christ. That is the first pillar of our parenting, and our parenting needs to be constructing this pillar. Are you with me so far? We got one down, right? Here we go. Back to our verses. Ephesians 6:4. Fathers, or parents, do not provoke your children to anger by the way you treat them. Rather, bring them up with the discipline and instruction that comes from the Lord. The next pillar that we have, the next leg that our parenting will stand on, is the leg of instruction. Okay. Encouragement, gang, works hand in hand with instruction. They kind of go together. They're like two gloves. You see, instruction, or we can also call it nurturing, is the continued pouring in of encouragement. Remember, letting them know who they are in Christ, so you're instructing them. It is also pouring in truth. It's also pouring in enlightenment from God's word, or even from our own lives following God. You'll notice that God offers this pillar as an antidote to frustrating children in such a way that would lead to anger. Instead, if you don't want to frustrate them in a way that leads to anger, instruct them. Many a parent has spoken counterproductively to their child, even spoken disparaging words or comments to them. Gang, that is the road that leads to anger. Instruction, on the other hand, takes godly wisdom and it mixes it up with patience and then pours in some persistence, and it produces life-giving nourishment to a child's heart. You know, my wife, every year, she buys hanging plants for our front porch. Now, we usually get them in the late spring. I put it off as long as I possibly can. And they look great when we hang them up. They look great when we got these new hanging plants, we put them up. They look good for the first week or two. But as much as my wife loves buying these hanging plants, she has the exact opposite amount of passion for watering those plants. So she asks me to do that for her. She says, will you do that for me? I said, of course I'll do that. I'll do anything for you, right? So when we first started this process, first set of plants, long gone, they're pushing up daisies, but at first I went and I bought some Miracle-Gro. What's better than a miracle, right? So I'll get some Miracle-Gro. And I mixed those beautiful, lovely blue crystals up in a gallon of water in a watering can. And I mixed it up and I headed to the porch. And I held that big, heavy bucket of water over my head. And I poured that nurturing, beautiful colored liquid into those plants. And guess what happened? They refused to drink it. They refused to drink it. Instead, that life-giving, expensive cocktail ran out the bottom of the pot immediately and all over down the sides. What a pain. No wonder my wife doesn't like to do this, right? The dirt, I found out, was rock hard. Rock hard. Didn't look at all like it did when we bought them from the Home Depot. Now, I thought, in my thinking, dry dirt should suck up water, right? It should suck it up. No, it doesn't. It don't do that. What it did do was everything rolled off of it. But what I did take was patience. It took patience and a little bit of working, going to the garage, right to your old car tool chest, get a nice little screwdriver. All right? It took some patience, took some persistence to get that life-giving nourishment into those plants. And guess what? They look pretty good. That is for a few days. Then I had to get out the whole thing again. I had to get the watering can out again. I Miracle-Grow them again. I don't know if you can give it too much Miracle-Grow. Who can get too many miracles? So I gave them more Miracle-Grow. And again, the whole time-consuming ritual went into place. Well, it's my night to be honest, so I'll be honest. I have yet to last more than about 3 or 4 nurturings with poor Miss Kelly's hanging plants. They do pretty good till about July. And usually by that point, I put my pouring in of nurturing on autopilot. I hope, when I push that button, I hope that those vibrant, beautiful custodies of mine can somehow reach out beyond the overhang and get some rainwater on their own. Well, as you can imagine, by the end of August, those once promising plants are now brown, withered, and lifeless, And every year I tell my wife, that's just because we got them at Home Depot. And that's not really true. Gang, when it comes to nurture, when it comes to instruction, we cannot put it on autopilot. You can't. Why? Because autopilot, gang, is a mirage. It really is a self-destruct button. Even if God's truth seems to be running off of your children like water running off of hardened soil, we have to continue to pour it in. Even if we neglect the feedings for a while, we've got to resume them. Even if we have blown it in the past and all hope seems lost, we have confidence we are not wasting our time. 1 Corinthians 15:58 says this. With all this going for us, my dear friends, stand your ground. Don't hold back. Throw yourselves into the work of the Master, confident that nothing you do for him is a waste of time or effort. When it comes to instructing our children, our action step is this: confidently invest time and effort in instruction. Parents, we must encourage our children in who they are in Christ. And we must not put instruction and nurturing on that mislabeled self-destruct button that says autopilot. Then lastly, in Ephesians 6:4, and ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but nurture them in the chastening and admonition of the Lord. Now, that was from the American Standard Version. I like that version. It actually, this translation seems to bring out this last idea of discipline to really its most accurate. There is going to be loads of chastening in our parenting. This is where, just as God does, we are to reprimand, we are to rebuke incorrect actions, incorrect beliefs, and incorrect behaviors. The goal, remember the goal here of chastening and disciplining, is to correct bad behavior, to correct the belief, to correct the bad action. My mom was excellent at this. She was great. If you had a fresh mouth, my mother dealt with it. If you had a bad attitude, it was chastened. If you chose bad behavior, it was disciplined. What God is saying to us parents here is this: don't let it pass. It is very common to hit that ruinous autopilot button. You know, gang, in the weeks to come in this study, we are going to address virtues. We're going to address virtues like honor. We're going to look at respect, integrity, manners, purity, and serving God. But absolutely none of those things will matter if we are passive in times when we should be chastening. I want to repeat that. All those wonderful virtues don't matter at all if we are passive in times when we should be chastening. I knew two brothers growing up, and they did not get along at all, these two. Now, I saw them regularly because I played over at their house all the time. I knew the younger brother. The older brother was a mean, disrespectful bully. No two ways about it. And the two of them were always at it. It amazed me, though, when their parents saw it, they would yell and they would get mad for about a minute. But basically, they never changed it. The parents, I guess, could say they addressed it, but they never really dealt with it. They didn't chasten it. They didn't discipline it, And more than anything else, they never fixed it. Instead, what they did do was put it on the disastrous autopilot. Ephesians 6:4 is saying, don't put those moments on autopilot. Rather, bring them up with the discipline and instruction that comes from the Lord. When I told some people this week what the message was about, I could see them cringe when I got to the third pillar, discipline. Disciplining, chastening, that pillar, that leg. Because no one likes to correct. But none of us should be satisfied with the results of a child that is not chastened. Paul wrote this in Hebrews 12:11. No discipline is enjoyable while it is happening. It's painful. But afterwards, there will be a peaceful harvest of right living for those who are trained this way, in this way. Gang, that is the goal right there in that verse. A peaceful harvest of right living. This pillar, this leg, discipline, it cannot be abated and it cannot be put on autopilot. There are three pillars that we're given here, three foundational legs that must be present to train a child God's way and have them living God's life to the full. If you tried to merely just encourage them to death, even throw some praise in there, and then do lots of instruction, a lot of nurturing, pour in more miracle growth than old Pastor Drew. If you tried to do it on just two legs, nothing can stand on just those two. No child is going to stand without being disciplined, reproved, chastened, according to the Bible. Instead, when we're brave enough to do what God has called us to do and do all three pillars, they stand firm and live life to the full. Someone asked me recently, well, how long do you keep going with this? How far do you go? Well, what does the Bible say about how old the kid's supposed to be? How long do you father? How long do you parent? How long do you do that? I said, well, I don't know. I know a couple things. I know that in the Bible, we're not given any time frame as to when you stop encouraging, instructing, or even chastening. My father is in his 70s, and I'm in my 50s. And if we went somewhere, and if I spoke, if we were at Carlisle Fairgrounds and I was buying one of my wonderful, long-anticipated Woody's hot dogs, and I had a little bit of a curt attitude towards the guy who gave it to me, my father had no problem saying, don't talk like that. We don't talk like that. You never stop parenting if it's all for the positive. We cannot put our parenting on autopilot. Instead, God leaves us these verses. Parents, do not provoke your children to anger by the way you treat them. Rather, bring them up with the discipline and instruction that comes from the Lord. And fathers, do not aggravate your children or they'll become discouraged. I'm going to ask the band, worship leaders, to come back and give us an opportunity, as we do each week, to have you connect with God on this. As we said in the beginning, God is calling us to step up, step in, and deal with what he has given us. This cannot really suffice with what God wants it to do if it just became good information. That's good stuff. And I know it. And I might even tell some other people to do it. Instead, this information is to be actional. We are to build well. All three legs. Be intentional with our parenting and raise children that will one day embrace our God and follow him because they have found truth, they have found the way, they have found life to the full. Lord, sometimes when it comes to our parenting, it feels like we need some angel armies on our side to do what we're called to do. But I thank you that your Holy Spirit dwells in us and that you give us your wisdom, you give us your love. And I pray that you would continue to show us how to do the job that you've handed to us. And I pray, Lord, that you would give each of us the courage that we need to do what we're called to do, that we would always, always be patient, always be willing to persevere, that we would never stop pouring in the instruction, and that we would let them know that there are bigger things going on here that they can trust in, that they are princes and princesses right along Jesus Christ as they stand and sit at the Father's table. We leave ourselves in your hands. Amen. See you next week, 7 o'clock.